At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Welcome. Oh my gosh. Hyped. It's so crazy that it just takes that. I mean, I was sitting here like done, dude. Right? Done.
Oh, I mean,
you play Big Pimpin', I get an air flute going. I am fucking good to go. Welcome. Joel, listen, you guys are not, you're not hearing wrong. Okay? We have the three amigos.
For the first time in how fucking long?
Seriously.
It's been too goddamn long.
Dirtbag crew be dirtbagging, dude.
We're back. I took a shot.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
That's so cool,
the
dude.
Dirtbag.
Yeah. That's
funny, so that Joel
cool.
Joel calls it a shot, but I watched it and it was a chug straight from the bottle.
Yeah. You've got to. Old Ventura Pier days, dude.
The best days.
Best days. Jack Daniels. In a brown paper bag.
Yeah.
Swigs.
Jim Beam for me.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, on the times that we were doing well financially, aside from that, it was like some...
75 South.
That early times?
Early
times. Evan Williams, early times?
Popoff. Popoff lemon flavor was fucking $11 for a handle.
Sup?
What's up?
The good shit.
Well, I mean, the good shit. That's what I'm talking about. The good shit.
Hell yeah.
Can you do me a favor and turn the brightness of your laptop down? It's making you glow in the dark, dude.
Yeah, dang, dude. Can
That's
you
just,
see?
As low as you can go where you can still read.
Can you see, bro?
That's just my skin color, dude. You could point a black light. Well, you'd point a black light at me.
Yeah, his skin is still that color.
Reason, so. Oh, yeah, look at that. He is.
It is not his laptop.
He is one pick.
At all.
It looks much better, though.
Is this your first time meeting me for both of you?
Yeah, that's his pallor. I feel like I tell you that every time. Like, he's alive, first of all. And that's just the way
you look. It's like, no, it's okay. He's not sick. I mean, not terminally
sick. He's not sick.
Just hasn't seen the sun ever.
I put up on...
It's the historical enemy of my people.
Ross wanted to put on Drinking Bros, like, one of our really good audio. I love the gay coal miners, but I forgot that was the episode where you were just literally gonna die.
Oh.
Ross told me that you had to go to the hospital, and I said, can it wait an hour?
That was the barf bucket episode.
That was barf bucket, dude.
That was a fun episode.
You were a champ.
That was a fun episode.
Ooh, sorry.
Are you a drug dealer?
No,
sorry, drug dealer.
Just walked through the beaded curtain at the front of the studio.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Sorry. Welcome.
I missed you guys.
We missed you, buddy. Delco... filled in for you, champ, good. Professional.
He's still alive after putting up with you two?
He's still alive.
That's been hard.
We feel older.
Oh, yeah, goddamn.
Yeah,
after
because
the last episode, those all felt like personal attacks.
Yeah, he likes to, like, play music or, like, things and be like, you guys don't remember this? And we're like, no, dude. Like, we're old.
I was already old by then.
I was old. I wasn't
was
fucking listening to your shit. And he's like, oh. And then we'd be like, what, really? Like, really surprised about it, making us feel even worse.
Fuck.
And we're like, all right, man, we get it. What's nice about us three is that we're all fucking old.
Goddamn right.
We've all been through some shit. We all were dirtbags, weren't dirtbags. Dirtbags again, who knows now what we are. We trade off, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
But we try and make it work, right?
Yeah, to the best we can with what we have.
The best we can with what we have. And if that's not a glowing endorsement for Crime Corner.
Crime Corner.
Crime Corner.
We do the best we can with what we have.
Yep. Crime Corner with Jesse Wiseman.
Goddamn right.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
We've got a fun one today. You guys know I'm not really a feminist.
Or racist.
Yeah, me too.
You know I was all about Remembrance Day, Remembrance of the Holocaust Day. I did not try and change the channel to find something fucking else on, which there wasn't. And so I remembered with the old ladies. You know what I mean?
What happened?
Remembering.
Nothing. It's all made up.
It's whatever they're remembering. I remembered with them. Holocaust Remembrance Day. Whatever.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Walking through the rubble of Auschwitz. Oh, you know. Oh, and over here is... Oh.
Rubble without
and
a cause.
Over here with... Yeah. It sucked. I get it. It sucked. So bad, right?
Yeah, they should just move on, right?
Not the Holocaust. Jesse's experience of remembering the Holocaust is what sucks so bad.
Yeah. Like, for me, you know, and I'm sure it's hard for them, but I'm telling you, like, for me, it is so hard to, like, see those pictures. Do you know what I mean?
It's hard to care.
No, it's hard. It's hard to be like, all right, you know, like, look at this pile of little shoes. You know, stare at it. You're like, oh, I know. How about this pile of emaciated dead bodies? You know, you're like, yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I
but
will
can
look
we,
at it.
Can we just get?
I will look
else
at the
TV?
Pictures. Okay.
They should do a full VR like thing. Where you put on the goggles and sit in a room with the smell, they like reenact the smell too, and you can sit in the Holocaust. That'd be sick, right? No? Then maybe
yeah, that'd
care.
Be sick, dude. It'd be sick. You're right. It'd be dope.
Cool as fuck.
It'd be fucking dope, dude. I would love it. Give me the experience that I can't even look at pictures without being like, oh my God,
wait,
this
hang on.
Is
you know
fucking
that Joel's,
crazy.
Joel's talking about from the perspective of the Jews, not the Nazis, right?
Well, you can pick.
God, don't let people
now
pick.
We're talking.
This is like an expansion pack where you could pick which perspective.
Oh, we
you
know
want.
What Coop's picking.
What?
Anyways,
what's that supposed to mean?
We know which perspective you would pick. That's all. All
I
right,
mean,
moving
let's be
on.
Honest.
So yeah.
Move on.
We're moving on. Everybody knows. Everyone knows if there was a choice, if you're going to perspective of the Nazis or the Jews, we know which one Coop would pick. Moving on. Anyway, we are doing a really fun and flirty episode. So welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner. I am your host, Jesse Wiseman, and I am joined by my co-host, Coop and Joel.
Yeah.
Finally
back after all these years.
Today, we have another fun and flirty episode for you that's got all of our favorite things. First of all, making fun of Louisiana. Trash.
Good.
It's our new favorite thing. We have a young woman with big dreams and a can-do attitude. My kind of gal.
I thought you were going to say big dreams and a big cans.
And a big cans.
Well, we'll find that out later.
She must have. And a few... A few creepy old men getting their just desserts. This is the story of the many husbands of Minnie Wallace.
And we are both on the same page that we got a lot of respect for this girl.
Yes. So, like I was saying, you guys know that I'm like feminist, but I'm like a certain type where stop fucking bitching and crying and being a victim. And fucking use the power that you have.
Old school feminist.
Just use it in the right way. You know what I mean?
What power?
Manipulate.
The same power that Cleopatra used to bring down the Roman Empire.
Oh, God.
Get what you want. You have the fucking power. Quit crying about it. It's not sexy.
You have the power, just keep it washed.
You have the power, just keep it high, tight, and shaved. And you will rule the fucking world. That's what I'm talking about. This was the kind of girl that went, oh yeah? Here we fucking go.
Our story this week takes us once again to the Big Easy. Nestled in the alligator-infested swamps known as Louisiana, it is well known that New Orleans is no stranger to strangeness. How are we supposed to actually say New Orleans?
Oh, yeah. We did this last time because the way that they talk is stupid and dumb. And no, it's almost like another language.
Yeah.
How do we refuse to say
New Orleans? New Orleans.
Well, you were there recently.
That's the most I heard, but everyone.
That's what they were actually calling it there?
I don't know about the locals, but I went to a lot of local bars and I heard New Orleans all the time.
Yeah, because everyone was a tourist. Anyways.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
New Orleans is how you're supposed to say it, but we refuse.
Oh, yeah, I still refuse to. I don't even want to call it NOLA.
No, God.
Jazz music, the turducken, and cotton candy are only a few of the many things that have led many of us at some point in our lives to think, wow, there's more to Louisiana than voodoo and public nudity?
No.
That was honestly surprising
to me. Turducken is turducken, dogs?
It came from a...
What is that?
New Orleans.
It's trash.
Turducken. That's when a...
Stupid.
So you take a chicken and fist it into a duck, and then you take that duck and fist it into a turkey, and then you deep fry the whole thing. You got a turducken.
So it's three birds shoved into each other.
It is the highest level of technology to ever come out of New Orleans.
Is it good?
I'm not eating that shit. Are you kidding me?
It doesn't make sense.
Have you had it? Is it good?
I haven't had it, and I bet it's not good.
I haven't either.
And I won't have it.
I mean, I hate most things that I'm not familiar with. We talked about that just a little while ago.
Yes.
Since being purchased from the French in 1803, the Pelican State, which, by the way, did you know that's their official state name is the Pelican State? Who the fuck associates pelicans with New Orleans?
I guess.
I haven't heard that till right now, to be honest.
Yeah, look at their website. The Pelican State has grown to become, statistically speaking, one of the worst states to live in. We're really shitting on Louisiana in this one, and somewhat apologize.
And it's episode 2 in a row, by the way.
2 in a row.
The last one, I was just like, I love, you were just in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And I love visiting there. It's fucking awesome. It is amazing to visit. So much fun. Debauchery.
For a weekend.
Old school. But if you live there and you're from there, you're trash. Which we said on the last one. So.
And we're going again on this one.
When I went there, I looked up. Because whenever I go somewhere with my wife, we look up what the crime rate is or where it's safe and stuff. It's the highest rated crime in the country.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let me tell you about that. With a violent crime rate 65% higher than the national average, one may think that the residents of Louisiana would do damn near anything to get out. But thankfully, the literacy rate is the fifth lowest in the nation, so most of them aren't even aware of this fact. Thank God. Ignorance is bliss.
I saw no crime when I was there except for a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
Joel was there during the fucking terrorist attack.
Just a tiny little terrorist attack.
I was on that street an hour and a half before it happened.
Yeah.
Well, what you told me on the phone is you were trying to teach your wife how to drive and things kind of went.
Well, I'm not going to say that on air so she gets in trouble.
Yeah.
You were teaching your boyfriend how to drive.
Yeah.
You weren't there, though. Nailed it.
Fucking shit. I'm trying to help you, dude.
When you and your wife were there, though, you guys went to a convenience store.
We did.
And you thought, just like everything in Louisiana, you were like, this is trash. I bet there's some really good one-star reviews.
Yeah.
And you found a good one.
Well, I was looking for a grocery store because I needed food. And,
sure.
I used Yelp. And that was the closest one. And it had a one-star review that was amazing. So I
said, and you were like, I'm fucking going there. And then you took your own pictures.
I took a picture of the quality of the place.
Okay. Why don't we put that picture up real quick?
Right. Well, is that the video? This is the video that you shot right here, right?
There's a video? No, that's
No, he didn't shoot it, but the...
We're
But the one, the perfect person that wrote the one star.
That's me. That's Joel right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, show the picture real quick, Coop.
Funda B is her name, that gal's name. Funda B from Fort Greene.
Wait, you want a picture of the lady or the grocery store?
No, I sent you a picture of the sign.
With the duct tape.
I airdropped it to you. If you have it. Do you have it?
No, wait, I do. I just got to pull up the right screen. I'm not familiar with your computer, Joel. It's so much newer than any of the ones that I've used.
This is just like, you know, this is called setup before the one started to make, you know, to really show the vibe.
So you know that, like, again, the deal with one star is like, what do you think? Where do you think this one star is going? What do you think you're going to get from it? You know what I mean?
If I walked into a place that looked like...
That had duct tape on the sign?
To hold their signs up for the aisles, yeah. Pasta, rice, and beans, this way with duct tape.
Spices, crab broil.
And they didn't even use, like, good duct tape.
No.
I'm going to give
them... They
didn't
even make it straight. Yeah. They're just like, slap it up there. Anyways.
I would give them a 5-star review just for remaining open.
If you
exactly.
Know the, if you know the area, you know it's not going to be, like, the best place.
Exactly.
So that's why the review is good.
But Funda is from New York. Mm. And she said, what?
Spoiled by New York.
She also wrote this, by the way, December 24th. So Christmas Eve.
Okay. Jesus.
She is not happy with the store that's open. I'm writing to express my deep disappointment and concern about the incredibly negative experience I encountered while shopping at Circle Market on Christmas Eve. Specifically, at the location on 1522 St. Bernard Avenue in Nolens. Upon entering the store, I was approached by a lady outside who requested assistance in purchasing alcohol.
Oh, I was going to say, as a setup, there's a lot of homeless out front, usually.
Yeah.
I went there 3 times.
Yeah. It's Louisiana.
Yeah. Why? Anyway. Continue.
Despite her appearing somewhat unstable, I decided to extend my help, as it was Christmas Eve, and I deeply believe in the Bantu philosophy of compassion and kindness towards others. However, what followed within the store was both appalling and distressing. As soon as I entered the store and approached the employees for assistance, I was subjected to unwarranted aggression and hostility. An elderly man suddenly commenced screaming at me without any apparent reason, to my utter surprise. Funda, show the video. This is her video, right?
Yeah.
This we is have, Funda.
She posted a video at the end of her Yelp review.
This is Funda. Listen to Funda. And I'm going to read that line again.
It's muted at the bottom right there.
There you go.
Right. This gentleman right here is not allowing me to go ahead and shop. All right. At first, what I wanted to do, I'm at Circle Market.
Okay.
Okay.
God,
so
look at that.
This is the person that wrote.
Can you do that accent?
Oh, wait, I don't know. I don't know what it was.
When I read it, I didn't see the video till later. I imagined it as the voice that Jim Carrey does in Ace Ventura 2 when he's sleeping. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
He's like, I do declare, mister.
Right.
That's a pretty classy, like,
she's trying to use big words.
Cajun accent.
Yeah, so that person right there with the bandana wrapped around her hand and trying to get in.
Oh, she had a bandana on her hand?
Yeah. So an elderly man suddenly commenced screaming at me without any apparent reason, to my utter surprise. To compound the situation, two other employees joined in, displaying an attitude towards me as though I was committing a wrongdoing.
Can I take a crack at this next,
please.
Next paragraph? I know what you're talking about, Joel. This unwarranted confrontation took an alarming turn when I felt threatened by not just one, but 3 employees. Adhering to my instincts, I took a picture in an attempt to document the incident. Unfortunately,
fucking 10 paragraphs long.
This is like an entire fucking book.
It's a banger, dude.
This action only served
to further escalate the situation. And it quickly spiraled out of control. And I want to emphasize that I possess video evidence to substantiate my claims if required.
Hold on.
She talks
video?
Like a... Yeah, she...
That
she,
video was evidence.
Oh, did you not see it?
The aggression.
Did you notice that Coop can actually do two accents? It's a pirate voice and a racist voice.
Yeah.
Dude, how is...
Yeah.
That's a...
You noticed that, right? It's the first time I've ever heard him do anything but a pirate accent.
Okay, excuse me. How is that racist? That's like a Creole accent, like an upper-class Louisiana accent.
No such thing as upper-class Louisiana.
Okay, so...
All right.
Unless you're white and racist.
Yeah. No such thing, friend.
It is incredibly disheartening to assert that the actions and behaviors exhibited by the employees on that day, and more significantly, their hostile demeanor towards me, suggests a deep-seated racial bias.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
These distressing events have left me grave doubts about the integrity of Circle Market and its employees. The fact that I encountered such unwarranted aggression and hostility on Christmas Eve, a time when empathy and goodwill should prevail, speaks volumes about the management's disregard for customer well-being and principles of equality. Yeah, she is wordy. This goes on for another three paragraphs.
Yeah, she should probably take turns on paragraphs like how we do it, you know?
Okay. Where are we?
I strongly believe that...
This is the longest he's held an accent, too.
Yeah, my gosh. You should do one in a pirate
accent. Yeah, you should rotate into a pirate accent.
Oh, I strongly believe that individuals who harbor racial biases and display such hostility should not be entrusted with the responsibility of handling and serving food to customers. It is evident that the priorities of the owners of the Circle Market lie elsewhere. And they have failed to cultivate an environment of respect and inclusivity within their establishment.
This does sound like a fucking a lawyer like, yes. leading case.
For a place that duct tapes up their signs.
It's like it's like the Gettysburg Address. Therefore, I humbly request that immediate action be taken to address this distressing incident and ensure that Circle Market upholds its responsibility to treat all customers with respect and dignity, regardless of their background.
It sounds...
Moreover, I implore you to conduct a thorough investigation into this matter and take appropriate disciplinary measures against the employees involved. It is crucial that Circle Market demonstrates its commitment to eradicating discrimination and fostering a safe and welcoming environment for all patrons. I hope that my complaint is taken seriously and that this incident serves as an opportunity for Circle Market to rectify its practices and foster a culture of respect and fairness. As a concerned customer who has been a patron of Circle Market in the past, I sincerely hope that steps are undertaken to prevent similar incidents from occurring in the future.
Says the person.
Thank you for your attention in this matter, Your Honor. I trust that my concerns will be addressed promptly and thoroughly. I look forward to a resolution to this unfortunate incident and to be able to return to Circle Market in the future with confidence in its commitment to equality and customer satisfaction. Amen.
Now,
no response. She didn't get a response.
They should have been.
Cut back
to the picture that you took while you were there. Does that look like a place that really cares about customer satisfaction?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's just giving this speech outside to all the other homeless people.
And like, buying them alcohol, by the way.
And buying them alcohol, as it is Christmas Eve. And then when I tried to go in to buy all the homeless people alcohol outside,
like, no.
They were like, bitch, what?
We're trying
and
to get rid of
them. And she was like, stepped on a fucking crate. I do declare Bro.
When you guys switched to that accent, it sounded like it was fake.
It was real.
Yeah, that's word for word what she's what she wrote.
Word for word what she wrote. And I think what she, like, the way that she wanted it to come across. Like,
it's,
she thought Circle Market
well written.
Was going to read it and be like,
oh, fuck.
You know what I mean? Like, the whole, all the employees are like, yeah, lifting her up. Like,
oh,
she
captain,
really,
my captain.
She was right. It got on the greatest crime show of all time.
Hey, good it worked, point. Girl. Fonda.
Fonda. She's a lot of fun.
Fonda B. From down under. All right. Back to the other trash. Go ahead.
Well,
so,
many years ago, there was one Louisiana native that saw the writing on the wall and decided to do everything in her power to find a better life, even if that meant murdering a few creepy old men along the way. Her name was Minnie Wallace, and she was a living example that most men will do damn near anything for a piece of tail.
In December of 1884, a middle-aged man named James Reeves Walkup traveled to New Orleans to attend the World's Industrial and Cotton Continental Exposition. That sounds fucking white as fuck, right?
I thought you were going to say super fun.
The World's Industrial and Cotton Continental Exposition.
Oh, it's like Disneyland back in those days, especially for Louisiana.
Yeah.
Sounds like that one star chick wrote it.
Exactly. Yeah, her writing sounds like it comes from the time that we're talking about. This is an old-timey case, but like we like to say in cases from Louisiana, it could be any time.
Yeah.
It's all the fucking same. Nothing's changed. Nothing's gotten better. It could be from 1884 or last week.
Yep.
After fighting on the losing side of the Civil War, Walkup, yes, his name is Walkup, just like it sounds, was able to turn his luck around and found success as a coal magnate and railroad tycoon, among many other ventures. By the time he arrived in Louisiana, he had worn out two wives.
What does that mean?
And countless mistresses.
What do you think it means?
They're worn out. They died.
I mean, this guy was, what, he was around 48 years old at the time?
Mm-hmm.
And he'd already gone through two wives, had three children, I think. So it's surprising that at least one of them lived through more than one childbirth, which is good for the time, especially considering where they were.
Yes.
Okay.
He
liked to fuck a lot, pretty much, is what we're getting at.
Okay. Thank you.
As a wealthy, powerful, and respected member of society, Walkup had access to every vice imaginable at the time. Despite cocaine and opium being available in pretty much every store in the country, Jimmy preferred the company of women over drugs. When he wasn't busy making business deals, he was busy giving the business to any woman he could get into bed. By the time he was in his 40s, he had a collection of STDs that not even Gregory House could treat. Like the show?
I couldn't think of a better doctor that was good at, like, curing incurable diseases.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to say George Clooney from ER.
Oh, that would have been way better.
Or maybe, like, he had a collection of STDs that not even Magic Johnson could...
That's way
could
better.
Could eradicate, right?
The toss-up was between making a James Bond joke or a Gregory House joke. I think Magic Johnson's much better.
Yeah. At the recommendation of a friend he met in Baton Rouge, Walkup rented a room in a boarding house at 222 Canal Street. You went by there, probably.
Is it Canal? I thought it was Sea Anal.
Nailed it.
My bad.
Could be. Listen, could be also. Like, they pronounce things super weird.
I thought it was Canal.
Canal. Canal Street.
We're probably all wrong.
Or all right.
Which was run by a divorcee named Elizabeth Wallace. Her quaint hotel was known not only for its location in the red light district, it was also renowned for her two beautiful daughters named Minnie and Dora.
By the time they were teenagers, Minnie and Dora were famous throughout New Orleans. The young women were exceptionally beautiful by the standards of the time. Both of them were not only free of tuberculosis and polio, they had all of their fingers and an above-average number of healthy teeth.
Wow.
To top things off, they could play piano, sing songs, and were willing to keep their mouths shut when men were talking. Suffice it to say, they were marriage material. So, Minnie Wallace, this is a picture of her. Prettiest girl in New Orleans.
She looks normal.
She's cute. Normal is one thing. Prettiest girl in the city is telling you something.
So I think she was like, spoke French. She was kind of exotic. I'm trying to be like,
she's cute.
I mean, look, for that time.
She's definitely not unattractive. And
she's hot, dude.
Prettiest girl for the time. I'd say that's, yeah, by a long shot.
Yeah, for sure.
Many men had attempted to win over the Wallace sisters. As soon as they had their first periods, they had a line of suitors waiting to give them syphilis. And seriously, like they all, God, all these fucking guys. I hate every single fucking guy in this story.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Because they were all like riddled with STDs and going after teenage girls.
That's
my job. Being the older of the two, Dora was married off first, leaving Minnie as the target of a lot of horny old men, one of which was a powerful local judge named William T. Houston. Although he was married and in his late 40s, Willie Houston did his best to court the 15-year-old Minnie Wallace, much to the dismay of his wife and Minnie's mother. At one point, yeah, this is so gross. At one point, he even attempted to convince Elizabeth Wallace to let Minnie move in with him, because according to Judge Houston, Minnie was too beautiful to be living in the red light district. She would be far safer living with him, where he could keep an eye on her, and maybe a hand or two.
Mm-hmm. What a great guy.
Judge Houston's infatuation with Minnie eventually led to a fatal encounter with a local journalist who called him out for being a pedophile. There was actually an article written in the local newspaper talking about his pursuit of this, of young women, and he fucking killed the guy.
Yeah,
because that's what innocent people do.
Look, this is the 1880s, yeah. Right?
So at that point, the journalist probably kind of had it coming. Read the room, dude. When in Rome.
Read the room. It's 1880s. I could just fucking kill you, dude.
Yeah,
and it's not even a big deal.
You still kind of can now.
Yeah, it's going to the wayside, and I'm unhappy about that. With Houston having been thoroughly rejected, James Walkup was free to groom the 15-year-old Minnie himself. And James was 48 at this point.
Yes.
I'd like to keep stressing that.
And Minnie was 15. Yes. Now look, we're like, oh, gross.
What's the legal age back then for that place? I know it's low now.
There is none.
I mean, fucking whatever you could get away with, dude.
It's fucking whatever, dude.
If the parents are fine with it, shit.
It's
fuck
the Wild West. Creepy Jimmy hadn't even been at the Wallace boarding house for 24 hours before he confessed his love for Minnie Wallace.
Cute.
Dude.
What a fun love story.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.
Right?
So sweet.
He's like, I saw her from across the room and I just thought.
Just like the Notebook.
Just reminds me of my daughter.
Yes.
Oh, you don't even know.
Actually a couple years younger, older than his daughter. After staying for one night, 48-year-old James Walkup asked Elizabeth for her 15-year-old daughter's hand in marriage. Mrs. Wallace laughed off his request, saying that her daughter had many other men competing for her attention, many of whom were half of his age and with far fewer sexually transmitted diseases. Undeterred, Walkup asked if he could at least become pen pals with Minnie. Because we have so much to talk about.
Yeah.
So much in common. Elizabeth agreed, so long as he addressed the letters to her instead of her daughter. That way, she could ensure that he was simply a middle-aged pedophile and not some sort of godless deviant. You know what I mean?
Of course. You gotta vet him somehow.
Yeah. James agreed and immediately broke the deal. After the first few letters addressed to Elizabeth, he began sending sexually charged messages directly to Minnie. Now listen, sexting by letter is a long game, dude. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you send the sext, 3 weeks later, you might get a response. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's...
And back.
It's kind
of forth.
Oh, but that's like taking edging to an extreme degree.
Dude.
Like, you're talking about weeks in between letters. How are you going to stay horny for that long?
Well, what if you're both sending letters every day, and so there's a three-week delay...
Yeah, but you got to respond to it, right? So you can't, you know
so
what I mean?
So the responses
you have to respond
are,
to...
there's a big gap between, there could be something hot in there.
There could be something.
Well, maybe, but all of it would be like, oh, but I was kind of into that 3 weeks ago. I changed my mind at this point.
Yeah, right. Oh, what? That's what I, oh, yeah.
Oh, I forgot I said that.
Let me get back in the mindset.
Yeah, totally into that.
Yeah.
A few months after their first meeting, James Walkup took his daughter Libby on a trip to New Orleans to meet the new love of his life. Libby and Minnie got along great, considering the fact that they were pretty much the same fucking age.
God.
It's gross. They both shared mutual interests, such as knitting, dancing, and disliking...
And fucking their dads.
Well, I was going to say disliking having James Walkup's fingers inside of them.
Oh, God.
While staying at the Wallace boarding house... I thought that was a good one. While staying at the Wallace boarding house, Walkup continued pestering Elizabeth for permission to put his disease-riddled penis in his daughter, in her daughter.
Jesus, Coop.
Bro.
I had fun writing this one.
What? Why? This is disturbing.
Because I get to talk shit about an old creep.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I see that perspective. The other side of it's weird.
Oh, no. That was a fun part of it. He even went as far as to offer $4,000 for the chance to give a teenage girl a scorching case of syphilis because he was riddled with STDs at this point. Most older men were.
Ugh.
The offer was enough for Elizabeth to agree to let Minnie make the decision for herself. And an interesting fact is syphilis wasn't cured until 1947. So these were incurable diseases that we're talking about here.
Yeah. And they were and way worse back then because there was no, like, creamy to put on it.
Oh, yeah. What, they'd give you, like, mercury.
Yeah, they put some leeches on your dick. That'll get rid of those herpes.
Drink this mercury and put these leeches on your dick. You'll be fine in a week.
You know you can drink mercury and you're fine?
I mean, you're not going to be fine. You're going to absorb some of it. You can...
If it's cold, you won't. It has to evaporate.
You can technically drink it and be okay in the right situations. You know what? No, I'll endorse that.
Yeah,
anybody who wants to, go ahead and drink mercury.
Drink it. Well, not if it's warm out. It's got to be cold.
Nah, perfectly safe.
No.
Do you know that there's a saying called mad as a hatter?
Yeah, the mad hatter.
Yeah,
that's
mad
mercury.
Hatter.
I have heard that.
Yeah, it's from mercury poisoning. They would use it during the process. I think it was used for felting or something like that. And they would all just get poisoned by mercury and eventually go insane. So they thought that it was actually just making hats made you crazy.
I wonder if having mercury poisoning is that bad. It's bad for everyone else because you go insane, but is it fun for you? Like, if you don't know and you're just like kind of like seeing cool shit, what's the problem?
I mean, have you ever seen an unhappy person with Down syndrome?
No.
I think it's probably the same way, roughly.
They shouldn't call it a poison then.
Well, I mean, it's still...
It's a cure to sadness.
It's still technically a poison.
Yeah, so is alcohol, I guess.
Well, yeah.
But they don't call
it
poison.
Okay, shit, now I'm seeing what you're saying. All right, that makes a decent
sense. Yeah, so hey, do you want to be happy for the rest of your life?
Do you want to be happy for the rest of your life? And you make a syphilis woman your wife. Well, I wasn't even listening, dude. Wasn't even listening.
See, that's why she's the fucking best.
Sorry.
At this.
That's what a
just
professional
came
looks
in
like.
Fucking both barrels blazing right there.
Sorry, dude. Now 16 years old. Minnie was old enough to decide whether or not she would marry James Walkup. So it seemed like her mom tried to, like, put the brakes on things a little bit or have some kind of oversight. She wasn't like, yeah, sure, go. I mean, she didn't try super hard, but listen, if you're getting offered $4,000 and a place to live in, you know what I mean?
And he's killing people. She's probably terrified.
And Minnie seems like, oh, okay, I'm fine with it. I'm good with this, right?
Yeah, back in those times, it would be a lot more normal. I mean, the fact that her mom was pretty adamant that Judge Houston wasn't going to have anything to do with her, she did have some standards. She was looking out for her daughter.
Right. So with promises of monetary compensation for her and her family, Minnie finally relented. Within 1 month of his second trip to see Minnie, he and the teenager were married. Not long after the wedding, James and Minnie moved into his estate in Emporia, Kansas. Later, Louisiana, right? She got out.
Yeah, she got out for a little while.
For a little while.
Eventually went back.
True to his word, James gave Minnie full access to his money as well as severe cases of syphilis and gonorrhea. After that, the only thing that burned more than Jimmy's urethra was his fortune. Minnie got busy buying everything Kansas had for sale and sending it back home to her mom and sister. The only thing she didn't send home were some private purchases she made from local pharmacies. So you got to think that you go, okay, I can do this. We're writing letters. It is what it is. And then when you have to really like this dude's old. And this is 1884, 48, which might as well be 80 years old, right?
Yeah.
Life is hard. It's rough living. A 45-year-old looks 100 years old.
Yeah, back in those days, if somebody reached like 45 or 48, they were
elderly.
Yeah, they're upper class. This is like the tail end of life for most people, but at the same time, a lot of women aren't going to survive childbirth either. So they're roughly the same age in terms of like
risk.
In terms of risk, yeah.
Old timey age, like dog years, old timey years.
It's like dog years. Pharmacies back in the day were a little more fast and loose than prescription treadmills we know and love today. Aside from morphine, laudanum, and cocaine, customers could also purchase poisons that weren't just for partying. Among the most popular poisons available were strychnine and arsenic, both of which had uses outside of murder. At the time, arsenic was popular amongst women for its ability to lighten one's complexion. Which is also pretty fucking crazy because the reason that it was popular to take for lightening the complexion, it's not like you're rubbing it on your skin. You're taking a poison to make yourself look like you're dying so your skin's more pale.
The fuck? Instead
of using powder. Naturally, a chemical that can easily kill you will make you look like you're on death's doorstep.
Because you are.
Strychnine was slightly more controlled but was commonly used for pest control. With the right dosage, both chemicals can cause vomiting, diarrhea, and severe muscle cramps, ultimately leading to death.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Wait, people were drinking poison so they looked
I think they were putting... So white? Arsenic, people would put on their skin.
I'm pretty sure they would take it as pills, like in low dosage.
I would fact check that if I had my laptop, Coop.
Here, I'll fact check
that. It's either on the skin or taking it in, small doses, and it lightens your skin and can actually kill some, diseases and stuff, cyanide and arsenic back in the day.
God.
Yeah.
And kill you.
Yeah, if you take too much. But if you're getting it from the pharmacy.
That's like any drug.
Yeah, exactly. If you're getting it from the pharmacy for a certain thing, and at these pharmacies they have books. That was their only way of keeping track. So they would have these books, you'd write your name, what you're getting, and why. So you would put arsenic, I'm getting it for skin lightening, syphilis, whatever.
And they called the books poison books.
Yes.
Just so they could keep track of who was buying it. But right here it says that they were sold in wafers, and the only thing else is it's dangerous in large amounts, but in small amounts it was tolerable. So
and
I think
would
they were
lighten
actually
skin
taking it. Make you look sick.
Yeah.
Sick as fuck, dude.
And that was like a sign of like high, you know, like the lighter your skin was, the more like.
Do you know where that actually comes from?
Not much has changed.
What?
Because if you were rich, that meant that you didn't have to go outside and do any manual labor.
Oh, yeah.
So the more pale you looked, the more people would see you as like, oh, you must be really, really wealthy. You don't have to go outside at all.
Nice.
That sounds cool. The fun little death, right?
My kind of party.
Around 2 months after their wedding, James Walkup became extremely ill. Huh? So this is what I was saying, where it's like you're writing back and forth, pen pal, whatever. Then you get in the house with this fucking sexual deviant old ass dude, and you're
sexual
like,
Tyrannosaurus.
Oh shit! Like this is real. How do I get out of this?
That, like, I can't
That's
even understand.
So disturbing. I don't even
so
want to talk
disturbing.
About it.
Right? Like,
so
talk about
when
being
we,
on the wrong end of the stick.
Yeah, when we say. We like her. This is what we're talking about. Okay?
Yeah.
When we're saying she's the kind of gal that fucking does what she needs to do, this is what we mean. So around 2 months after, so they're married, 2 months later, James Walkup becomes extremely ill. His symptoms include vomiting, diarrhea, and severe muscle cramps. His personal physician, Dr. Luther Jacobs, was summoned to diagnose the ailing old man. While Dr. Jacobs had treated James for sexually transmitted diseases many times in the past, this time it was different. Normally, Dr. Jacobs would give James a combination of mercury, sulfur, and arsenic to treat his syphilis. However, it wasn't his syphilis that was troubling him. He was showing signs of poisoning. Instead of mercury and arsenic, Dr. Jacobs gave him morphine, cocaine, and booze. And those were the motherfucking
Fuck yeah.
Doctors
days.
Back in the days were the shit. Yeah, nowadays it's always just, oh, here, take this antidepressant. Fucking party poopers.
I want some of all those things right now.
You used to be able to just buy them at the store.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they'd be available everywhere, unless you wanted to get arsenic. Well, arsenic you'd be able to get just if you wanted a
Can you
lighter
get fucked
complexion.
Up on,
on what?
Does arsenic? It make you high?
Arsenic?
Yeah.
No.
I think strychnine's used to cut coke, or at least it was back in the day.
Yeah, but they give you cocaine, they give you opioids, they give you basically heroin. Like, you can just go, hey, you know, can I get the sign the book? Can I get this?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so he like, gave hey, my, him, he was like, I don't know what to do for you, so
my
how
wife's
about...
giving me a bunch of shit. Can I just get some, like,
cocaine
and opium?
Yes.
Yeah. So he was just like, I don't know what's going on with you. Here's some morphine, cocaine, booze. Because in the 1800s, doctors in the 1800s knew how to have a good time. The speedball perked James up for a few days, but he eventually succumbed to his strange and sudden illness.
But at least he was happy when he went.
Yes. God, so the yeah. first time he got sick, doctor comes, perks him up. He had been sick for a while. He got up and was like, oh, I'm feeling better. So he had some oysters and soda.
Canned oysters back in the 1880s. That's definitely
if
what
that
you want.
That doesn't make you want to just start, you know, when
it's
you guys
like
have had like
soup for the soul.
Yeah, when you guys have had like a stomach flu or something, it's like you're starting to feel a little better. What's the first thing? What's the first thing you're like, oh dang, you know what I really want? Some fucking oysters.
Some canned oysters. For sure.
That sounds no good. So we had that, started feeling better, and then got sick again and died.
Honestly, though, what is there anything specific that you guys crave after you get sick? Because with me, it's always like spicy or vinegary food.
Fast food?
Yeah, like a burger.
Burger.
Do you know what I mean? When you can eat again, it's like you want like a greasy protein, basically.
Oh, God. For me, if my stomach's messed up for a while, first thing that I go to is anything that's got a lot of vinegar in it.
Oh.
Like pickled vegetables. Like I'll down a little tub of kimchi. I don't eat that any other time, but I'll crave it after I've been stomach sick for a while.
That's interesting, dude.
After her husband's sudden and suspicious death, Minnie was arrested under suspicion of murder. News of her arrest reached her hometown of New Orleans, which caught the attention of her former attempted groomer, Judge William T. Houston.
Oh.
Great guy. Not one to miss an opportunity to take advantage of a young girl, Judge Willie rushed to Kansas to once again try to put his nasty old wiener in Millie Wallace.
God.
Minnie's mother, Elizabeth, had already dealt with Judge Houston once and knew exactly what he was trying to do. As such, she insisted that the state appoint a legal guardian. So, at the time, she could have gotten a legal guardian, but people were arguing the fact that, actually, I think it was specifically Judge Houston that was arguing the fact that, no, she's already been married, so she's
a man. She's married again.
She's an adult.
Yes. Well, basically, because she had been married, they considered her an emancipated child, which makes you, or an emancipated person, which makes you an adult. So yeah. Whenever you get married, no matter what age that is, you're now
an adult.
Forever an adult, yeah.
At the time, women were unable to be legal guardians because they were considered to be a midpoint between livestock and kitchen appliances. The
good
state
old
of
days.
Kansas, God, it, right?
STDs and no rights.
Mm-hmm.
The state of Kansas agreed and appointed a former mayor as her guardian, leading Judge Houston to return to New Orleans with his panties in a bunch. So the former guardian was this guy named William J. He was 48, or he was pushing 50 at the time.
This was basically, if you think about it, it was a 15, 16-year-old girl with all these fucking old dudes, basically.
Fucking harassing
just,
her.
Just around
lined
her.
Lined up trying to hook up with her. And take a look at this guy.
Under the guise of like, I'm just taking care of her.
No, I just want
to.
She just
needs to be taken care of.
Just like William Houston. No, she shouldn't be living in the red light district. She should be living with me and my wife.
Say that again with the accent, though.
Which one? Her, just like William Houston, she should be living with me and my wife.
There he is.
Me and my wife.
Me and me wife.
Yes.
State of Kansas agreed and appointed the former mayor, that was William J., as her legal guardian, leading Judge Houston to return to New Orleans with his panties in a bunch.
Her dad now is the mayor?
Legal guardian, yeah.
Okay.
Conservator, basically like executor, you know, like, I don't know.
Somebody to make the decisions for her, because,
yes.
I mean, women aren't...
Yeah, even though she is an adult, she
themselves.
Is still a woman.
Is she an adult now?
Yes, like we said, once you get married, you're an emancipated...
Is she still 15, though?
Yes,
hey, bro,
she's
if there's
16.
Grass on the field, man.
Bro!
Jesus.
Old school, dude.
I'm leaning into the times.
Oh, yeah, it's just coming real easy to you, bro.
Yeah, it is.
That's
isn't
all.
It?
It's just flowing right off the. Minnie's trial turned into the 1800s version of the O.J. Simpson trial. So this was huge.
Okay.
Everyone was tuned into this outside, wanting to know about it. It's all
the
over
radios.
The papers, radios, whatever. Journalists were talking about it.
Radio back then. It was in the local Penny Dreadfuls. That's where they were getting it from.
Mm.
With nothing better to do, all 300 residents of Kansas turned their attention to the Emporia courtroom. The court of public opinion was split 50-50. Half of the population believed she was innocent, and the other half was confused about why she hadn't been stoned for witchcraft. In a testament,
I still want to know.
In a testament to women's love of true crime, up to 60% of the daily attendees at court were women, probably it's, being like, get him, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, they were all fully in her favor. But it's fucking insane to think that women have been that into true crime for that long.
Yeah, because stuff like this, you go like, oh, man, like, I can't do it. But this bitch is fucking doing it.
They're learning,
dude.
They're
right?
Training.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
All of the physical evidence was against Minnie, as well as most of the expert witnesses. An autopsy had proven that James Walkup had died from arsenic poisoning, and a pharmacist testified that he had sold Minnie both arsenic and strychnine. So strychnine was the thing that she used first, and it didn't kill him.
Mm-hmm.
So then she used arsenic. So the doctor came and was like, okay, got him better. Then she used arsenic, and it worked.
Dropped like a rock.
But she had to sign these poison books, so there was record of her getting it at the time with no reason.
So
that was real when you said that they had poison books.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was
yeah,
the only way that they could, like, the records that they kept of what people are getting and
see,
why.
At least the back then, the, you know, hospitals or the pharmacy world was honest. Like, what poisons are you having?
And see,
what
could,
poisons are you taking to have lighter skin? At least they're.
You yeah. could, you
no,
could
they're
buy.
I mean, look, they're coming by it honestly. Like, they don't know yet that, like, you're going to get addicted and fucking ruin your life from fucking
know
cocaine.
It's a poison, at least.
Yeah, it's well, something. Strychnine was used for pest control a lot. Like, if you wanted to poison rats, and or it honestly, they used it a lot for dogs, too, which I'm not a big fan of. But that was something that they would use to get rid of pests a lot of the time, to poison them. So you would sign your name in the book just in case somebody around you showed up dead suddenly. But if nobody was dead, then you were just using it to, you know, kill your dog or your cat or something.
The pharmacist testified that he had sold Minnie both arsenic and strychnine. Minnie's attorney, however, was on point and played into the puritanical views of the time.
The defense was able to exploit the fact that James Walkup was a known philanderer, and they had one of his personal doctors to back them up. Dr. Charles Scott testified that he had treated James for side effects he was suffering from due to medication he used to treat his STDs and erectile dysfunction. After all, he was a man in his late 40s married to a 16-year-old. He had to take something to keep up with her insatiable sex drive. And if you look at it the right way, it's kind of her fault. He was doing it for her sake. A major hitch in the defense's strategy was the fact that the last time a doctor had given James arsenic for his droopy and drippy dong was over a week before his death. A jury responded to this evidence by deciding that such a sweet young piece of A-grade tale could never commit such a heinous crime. And I promise that every single man in that courtroom was like, no, shoot, I can save her.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, like, super hot back then.
There are so many guys in this story that just gross me the fuck out.
Seriously.
After a day and a half of deliberation, the jury found Minnie Wallace not guilty of poisoning James Walkup. Minnie walked away with nearly $500,000 from his estate, equal to around $16 million in modern-day real money.
Fuck yeah.
This is what I'm saying, dude, right?
And that was just a drop in the bucket.
Is anybody sad that that creep died?
Oh. Fuck no.
No. Right? You're not sad?
Nope.
You're usually all fucked up when we talk about the death.
Happiest I've ever been
You're
about
like,
a death.
Hell yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking, and that's just the first one, dude.
Did she get her money? Did she actually get the money?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Baller.
And estate and like.
Minnie always got her money. That's something about
Maybe
me.
It's
she
worth
always
it,
got her money.
Maybe, you know, get dicked down a little bit.
2 months.
Make
you know
some
what I mean?
Meals. There's only 2 months?
2 months.
I would do it.
Yeah, right. I'd work it out. The defense. Wait, go ahead. Where are you?
Nope, it's on you.
I wonder
Much
what it's like,
huh?
Just to be so beautiful that you have these opportunities that were presented to her.
Oh God, dude, it's a
the
nightmare.
The thing is,
it's so hard to deal with.
The thing is, you don't have to be like. Everyone can do it.
I can't do
you
it.
You just have to, women can do it. This is what I'm talking about when I talk about that kind of feminist.
Mm.
If you harness the power you actually have, any girl, again, like you're saying, like Gypsy Rose, any girl can do it.
That's,
they just need to figure
women,
out how to fucking do it.
Women.
And they need to know that they can do
it. Throughout history, I believe that women have run the world. But it's the ones who know that trick.
Yeah. It's the manipulative ones that know how to use the power that they have, and they don't fucking cry about shit, be a victim, or ask some dude to help them.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a trick. Like, that's...
Yeah, it's just power, dude.
Yeah, women are... The right women control the reins, and they do a good fucking job at it.
Much like just Gypsy Rose Blanchard, Minnie Wallace had a temporary fling with fame before fading back into obscurity. After failing to turn her infamy into a career, Minnie went back to what she was best at, seducing creepy old men. Over the following years, she developed a relationship with the former governor of Louisiana, William Kellogg, who was nearly 40 years older than her. So she was now like a rich young woman with her own house, her own shit, which was like insane at that time. So she would have these parties.
Slaves?
We're not going to say she was like a madam or a prostitute.
Slightly.
We're not going to say she had a brothel. I would say it was more like Great Gatsby. Like people just come over and it's just kind of like a
Like a ditty thing.
Like a freak off. Yeah. Like an 1884 freak off. Right. Where
it's much, much less creepy.
Right. I've got money. You know,
it was flipping the ditty situation on its head.
I was about it's a bunch of 15-year-old chicks. Girls, yeah.
It's a young girl taking advantage of old creepy men.
Which I'm okay with that.
I honestly am too.
Yes.
Like she was doing a real fucking good job at this, and she was.
Was it all planned? That's what I want to know.
Like I said, I think that she was like, okay, I can do this. Like I could like be a rich dude's wife, but this guy was like a horny fuck and had a bunch of STDs, and she was like, wait, this is not like we were pen pals, and now I've got to fucking do this shit. A lot different.
Yeah.
This is like kind of not. This is not what I signed up for.
Do you think
how gross?
Do you think when she was with her girls having a couple of drinks, she was like, "It's a gift and a curse."
She wasn't with her girls having a couple of drinks. She was like a fucking prisoner. But yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So she was hanging out with William Kellogg, who was nearly 40 years older than her.
Ugh.
For a while, Minnie traveled around the U.S. and Europe with Kellogg, who was obviously infatuated with her. Although she was sitting on hundreds of thousands of dollars from the untimely death of her previous husband, Minnie had made the wise choice of letting Kellogg foot the bill for most of their trips.
Hell yeah.
Smart. So she's keeping dead guy's money. She's letting infatuated old dude pay for everything, keeping that savings. Bro, like she's a fucking icon. Their situationship came to an end in 1889 when she met a wealthy and married lumber merchant named John Ketchum.
Ooh, like a lumberjack?
A lumber merchant,
which means he's selling lumber and walking around with a pipe, like making deals.
The rich guy making money off lumberjacks.
Yeah, yeah. The difference between a filmmaker and a film producer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
While attending the Paris Exposition in 1889, Minnie met John Burden Ketchum. She had grown tired of William Kellogg and was looking for a change. She was also looking for more money as she had nearly burned through all of the cash that she had gotten from her ex-husband's estate. This girl, she knew how to seduce men. She knew how to spend money, too.
Yeah, well, she was super young still, dude.
Oh, yeah. I'm not faulting her for it. I'm just saying, like, 16-year-old
with millions? Like,
I would have done the same thing, but holy shit. Maybe she did need a legal guardian at that point to let her know, like, hey, sock away some of this.
Yeah.
Nash, just get some more old D. She'll be fine.
And that's why she's better than I am. Her and Ketchum spent some time getting to know each other back in New Orleans before she moved in with him in Chicago. Although Ketchum was married when he and Minnie first met, she had two things his wife didn't have. A body that hadn't been ravaged by the trials of childbirth, or a gag reflex.
Jesus.
I didn't write it. Jeez. I didn't write it.
Okay, I made a point of making sure that...
She's 15.
No, not at this point. At this point, she's like 18, 19, something like that.
Bro, old for back then, dude.
Yeah, I mean, think
over
of it.
The
she's
hill.
Practically 30 years old. Over the course, I also made a point of making sure that I have all the most sexist lines in the episode.
Thank you.
Over Gentlemen. The course of the next few years, John and Minnie had a long-distance relationship, ultimately ending with them getting married in 1897. Minnie's poor luck from her first marriage followed her into her second. John was not only much older than her, he was suffering from poor health due to a life of heavy drinking and likely being constantly nagged by his previous wife. Only a few weeks after sneaking away to elope in Wisconsin, John suddenly and tragically died from acute alcoholism. Luckily, just before he died, he signed a will that left his entire estate to Minnie. She may have lost another husband, but she gained another $250,000.
Good
That's
for her.
Millions.
Good for her.
Good for her.
This episode should be called Good for Her. Yeah.
What if she was attracted to old guys? That would suck. Like, imagine if you were, like, into, like, 80-year-olds.
No.
And they're just dying all the time.
But, okay, I agree that she was smart, but it would be a tragedy if that was just, like, what she was into and her husband's just randomly kept dying.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God.
Like, I'm falling in love again. They're going to die any day.
Yeah, exactly.
Heartbreak every time. Over the next few years, Minnie lived off of the money she inherited from the sudden and tragic death of her last elderly and unhealthy husband. She knew she couldn't live forever off of $250,000, which is the modern equivalent of $8 million. She was pushing 30 years old, which is the modern equivalent of 40, meaning she was at least 5 years past her prime. She needed to find another husband and fast.
I'm
glad Joel at least got that one.
Yeah. So the deal with Ketchum was he was a alcoholic, hardcore alcoholic. So she was like, sweet, that one, right? Now, when he died, she was definitely, I think he either said on the deathbed or the autopsy was like, he's been poisoned. You've poisoned people before and been on trial for it. But ultimately, it was ruled acute alcoholism because the two look very similar. So thankfully, he was a hardcore, well-known alcoholic, which was another smart move on her point.
Very fucking smart.
On her part. Yes. So this is not all like by accident.
Yeah.
Like she's killing them. She's just getting smarter and better.
But no, she is fucking him though, right?
No, it's just serendipity. It's not an accident. It's serendipity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're getting what they want. She's getting what she wants.
God, I hope they're not, because that is just fucking gross.
In 1900, Minnie finally found the final love of her life at a Chicago Cubs game. His name was Delancey Horton Lauterbach.
What?
That's a great fucking name, though.
All the names in this one.
They're
are really weird. Good.
Walk up and catch up.
I know. Walk up, catch up,
and
Lauterbach.
And Colonel Mustard.
Yes. Like her previous husbands, he was a few decades older than her, very wealthy, and already married.
She had a type.
Yep. Despite having a wife at home, Delancey pursued Minnie for a number of years, giving her a total of over $3 million in gifts and cold hard cash. According, accounting for inflation, this is equal to around $50 million.
What?
Right.
This time, Minnie didn't have to convince Delancey to leave his wife, seeing as she suddenly died before a divorce was necessary. So now it's like, what's up, Lauterbach? But these are the days where you're like, oh, died. I don't know what happened, died. Dead.
Yeah, I mean, back in those times, women suddenly
autopsy
dying,
like,
fucking
oh, now
daily
that,
occurrence. Men suddenly dying, that's a little suspicious.
Even the first husband had two dead wives before he met Minnie. Nobody looked into those. There probably wasn't even an autopsy, right?
Oh, God, no. She died in childbirth, even though her child's 18 years old.
Yeah, exactly. Huh? All right, well, sounds good to me. Just write down how she died. Like, tell the husband, like, write down.
Hey, at least she's not nagging us, am I right, boys?
Boom. So his wife died. So her new husband quickly updated his will to include Minnie. Should anything happen to him, he wanted to make sure she would be taken care of. He even went as far as to build her a very special home in Chicago. According to a news article released in 1918, the abode was a house within a house, allowing Delancey to keep a close eye on Minnie and any of her visitors.
I actually have a picture of the layout. This is allegedly what it was, where there was a home and then he built a facade around it. And none of this is confirmed. It just comes from an article in 1918, which is years after the actual death happened. But according to the article, this is the setup where there was a facade and then about 20 feet inside there was a smaller home.
For what?
So you can make sure that little whore isn't cheating on him. Or he was a cuck and he wanted to
like
watch.
What the outside fake house was like a prison?
It's just like a
hallway. Or the inside was a prison
around
is what
the house?
I don't,
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it was a house with a facade built around it. And, I mean, honestly, like I said, this comes from a 1918 article.
Yeah.
So the inner house was a prison. And then he put a house on the outside. So it looked like a normal house.
Kind of what it seems like.
What the fuck?
Chivalry is dead.
Not long after updating his will, Delancey suddenly and tragically died from an overdose of cyanide. He fucking loved his cyanide, dude. Minnie didn't even have a chance to move into the beautiful gilded cage he had built for her. She was like, what?
I ain't going in that.
All right, I'm going to the pharmacy. This is my house?
Yeah, no. before she was on a trip to Europe at the time, and before she even came back, she said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to
wait. He died while she was gone?
Yes. So
maybe she didn't do that one.
Maybe she didn't do that one. A lot of people think that she had an accomplice for this, but this time she wasn't investigated due to the fact that she was conveniently on a trip to Europe when he died. Following his sudden and tragic death, all Minnie was left with was the small fortune he had left her, which was roughly 1/4 of his estate. Thankfully, this was enough money to take care of her until 1915, when she met a handsome English soldier who she soon married.
The real love of her life.
Yes. Minnie had finally found her true love. The love that would last the rest of her husband's life. They remained married up until his sudden and tragic death in the trenches of World War I. I think we can rule that one. Again, we don't know. She could be involved.
Unless she's like walking in like, oh, honey, I just got this in the mail. It's a draft notice.
Yeah.
Here, I got a uniform for you. Here's a pickle hop. Here's a rifle. You need to go straight to the French trenches.
Don't know.
Damn.
Having already lost 4 husbands, Minnie chose to spend the rest of her life as a bachelorette. She died in San Diego in 1957 at the age of 88, with nothing to comfort her except her considerable fortune and dozens of men still vying for her time and attention.
She got away clean?
Got away damn clean straight. And died in San Diego, California.
On the
Is
beach.
There a fucking yeah. better
At
place?
88 years old. Like the life expectancy.
For those times?
Oh, God. She might as well be like 150.
It's really true that if you have money, you can just live longer. Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, that's how you buy the baby blood that you inject into your veins.
For sure.
This is a happy ending one?
Well, yeah, I would.
For the creepy bastards that were trying to take advantage.
Yeah,
of
I would say she left a trail of many dead husbands to poisoning, but
that deserved it.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that she found what worked. Right, she found a good.
She found her place in the world.
Plan.
Hey, you do what you're good at, or do what you enjoy, and you never work a day in your life.
Executed. It's crazy that. In those times, like, she was already on trial, indicted for murdering her first husband the same way that all these other dudes died. And they were still like, yeah, I don't know. We don't know. Because at that time, she had become rich. So then she was a rich lady that was like, I don't know what happened, right? And they were like, well, okay, I mean, you're rich.
Dude, I'm never going to look at old ladies the same again. You never know their backstory.
You never know. Like, if you saw this 88-year-old lady in San Diego just chilling on the beach, would you think for 1 second?
You always think, oh, that's a cute old lady. Aww. You're like, no, she killed a lot of people for this.
Retiring by the beach, lost her husband.
Oh, honey, bring me something.
Yeah.
Bring me that big old dick.
Yeah. Yes. So,
she would have been so fun to party with.
Oh, God.
Don't drink anything that she gives you. Like, bring BYOB.
Yeah. For sure, cover your drinks. Don't leave them unattended, stuff like that.
No, that's like the risk with cocaine now. Like, cocaine might have fentanyl in it, so it's way more exciting. Like, dude, let's go get drinks with grandma. She might kill us.
Dude, we never know.
Because cocaine was definitely not exciting enough as it is.
Yeah, exactly. right after she got her first big shit ton of money after killing the first guy and getting off not guilty, right? I bet those parties at her house were fucking sick, dude. She was 17 or
Razors.
Something, just like everybody in high society is like at this 17-year-old's house, 18-year-old's house, just like partying. Doing
She's like
whatever.
The old-timey equivalent of like YouTube kids that get super rich and famous.
Yeah.
Just like these fucking parties that
She was the Jake Paul like of her time.
Dude, that's exactly it's exactly what I was thinking. It's just you give a kid a shitload of money, they're going to do some fun shit with it. You ever seen the movie Blank Check?
Dude.
That's how I want to live
the
my
Jake
life.
Paul is stealing husbands and murdering them.
Yeah.
It's a lot less charming if he does it.
So, I think we say icon, legend. This is one where we kind of knew Joel was not going to be upset, right?
It was a pretty happy episode overall.
Yeah. I thought something horrible was going to happen. I've been waiting.
No, just a bunch of dudes fucking like dying horrible
bunch of cheating,
deaths, poisoning
cheating
deaths. Yeah.
Great episode. My favorite so far.
My favorite of the year.
Well, it's the beginning of the year, and we still got a lot of time to ruin that for you.
Yeah. Which we will. So feels good. Reunited, right?
Finally.
Start the year off strong with a hardcore murdering feminist, right?
Beautiful.
Yeah, and from what I hear, poisoning deaths, a lot of things happen, right? You're vomiting, right?
I mean, there's the muscle spasms,
stomach spasms,
soft muscle, and I mean, I guess the other one's hard muscle.
Loose,
you guys know
loose muscle,
loose muscle. So diarrhea, I think.
Lots of diarrhea.
That ultimately, I think, and again, I don't know.
What could it be?
But probably in the very end, like right when it's like I'm going out. The last thing to happen, I would think, and especially with these guys, I would like to think.
Older men,
right?
The skin's loose,
wrinkly. Skin's loose, flappy. Muscles are, you know, not really working the same.
Not as tight as they used to be.
Right. I would say probably right at the end, they're like, oh, it was her prolapse, right? And that's just what I would dream, you know, and I would hope for them, you know?
Well, you think of it, it's kind of like one of those turkey timers or the thermometers you put in there.
Yeah.
As soon as it's done, prolapse pops out.
Mm-hmm. That's how she knew, actually, that they were finally dead.
This turkey's done.
She was like, boop, gone. Time to call the doctor.
Is it poking out?
Yep. All right. Call the doctor. It wasn't me.
Done?
Done?